CliffCentral.com.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Debo Homafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. I'm not alone in studio. I'm with my boy Bulelani. But I'm actually happy to be. You know, I think this one I must just make public announcement that we're back in our old studio, dude. You know, our desk is new. You know what? I don't know. I'm back on the big control desk, you know? So unlike that portable one, as if, you know what, I was a newbie in the radio space.
Nah, man. Last week I was in here hosting the show. Mm-hmm. And it was very nice because, I mean, the air here,
there's more light as opposed to the other studio.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we had you missed out on a very amazing conversation we had last week, talking legal for growing businesses and black-owned businesses, small businesses. Mm-hmm. So legal, that spoke all the way to contracts, partnership agreements, disputes, litigation, and it was very insightful, you know?
Yeah. Now, you see with me, Bulelani, if I'm not here, ne, I cannot be telling people to download apps. I've got an app on my phone, so so I was streaming, and I was listening you had three ladies, you had a young lady as well who was an intern.
Yes.
You know, it was an interesting conversation you guys had. You know what, it was very insightful. And I was excited. I wished for a moment I was in studio. And I didn't know how to wear in the studio. I mean, maybe I should have phoned and we use the studio line, you know, to. But that side, I mean, we're not calling people. People are not calling us.
Nah, we are out of exa.
So we are back in South Africa, eh?
Yeah.
No, definitely. It is exciting that indeed we are back. You still tuned in to 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. If ever you've just tuned in, we've got an amazing and exciting discussion that we definitely always have and bring you week in, week out. If you want to catch in on some of the shows that we've had in the past and some of the amazing content that we share, or even like what Bulelani had said in terms of the show that he had last week, Speaking Legal, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com and you go to choose to podcast. We are on Wednesdays, then you'll see it's written 360 Biz. So, but more than anything, if ever you're going to join in on our discussion, our WhatsApp line is 079-748-2090, 079-748-2090. If ever you want to join us, our discussion, our studio line is 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. If ever you want to interact with us on social media, it's at CliffCentral.com on Twitter and at CliffCentral.com on Instagram, and it's Cliff Central on Facebook. If you want to follow me, it's at DeboHomaFody, both on Insta and on Insta and Twitter, and it's DeboHomaFody on Facebook. Bulelani, you are?
At Bulelani Bala, all platforms.
Bulelani Bala at all platforms. I know our guests definitely have their social media headlines. Maybe let me take this opportunity to actually welcome my guests in studio. I'm actually excited about today's discussion. You know what, that it needs to be robust. You know what, the word robust is a word that we hear a lot in politics. But I know that today we're talking, you know, service. What we're talking, service in the private sector versus government sector, and what is actually happening between those two, industries out there. Mm-hmm. I've had an opportunity as well of watching actually an interview by one of our guests that he did with AAN7, you know, in regards to having a robust discussion around that issue. Maybe let me take this opportunity to actually welcome, you know, my guest in studio. I've got Ms. Thuli Mashaba, who's the director of Hule U Guide Project. And I've got as well Mr. Figile Bali, who's the CEO
Figile Billy.
Figile Billy.
Sounds almost like Balabala, but it's.
Oh, okay. No, sorry, man. It's, my producer wrote it the other way around. Who's the CEO of Zandile? management services. Maybe let me take this opportunity to thank you guys for coming to studio. Maybe do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do. Are we starting? Is it ladies first?
Okay. My name is Fikile Pili.
Okay.
I'm from two companies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from a company called Zandile Management Services, which renders services for municipalities around the country.
Okay.
And I'm also from a company called Fixtrack, which is the first black-owned trucking company in the world.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. No. We're gonna go into details as far as that is concerned. Mashab, are you related to Herman Mashab?
No.
Oh,
not okay. That I know of.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine. Do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do? No, it's fine. I'll definitely trace back. I'm sure my people are listening. They already know Black Tweet. They're already checking you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Thuli Mashaba.
Okay.
I'm the director of Hula Ugude Projects.
Okay.
We specialize in civil engineering, construction, and general building.
Oh, is it?
We also do mining and industrial supplies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I've also got other strategic partnerships that I will talk about, yeah.
Oh, okay. So then between the civil and construction and the mining, which one is your core?
The civil construction.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, CIDB grade?
4.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's fine. I'm a 5.
Okay.
Both in terms of general building and civil.
I'll partner with you to up my grade.
No, definitely. I'm always looking for partnerships and doing partnerships
all
the time. Maybe let me come back to you. Mr. Billy, we're talking service delivery in the private sector. I've had an opportunity to watch your interview, with AAN7, when you were discussing this issue. So, and in your introduction, you said you deal with municipalities. What does that mean? Do you want to break it down for us?
Okay, at Zandile Management Services, we render services like doing debt collection for municipalities.
Okay,
we do data cleansing, we do indigent verification, we do prepaid smart meters, water and electricity. And we also own a vending system that sells prepaid water and electricity.
Okay. So now, what led you to be or to follow that industry, maybe?
I'll be honest with you. I remember at one stage, this is quite interesting. I'm originating from Kimberley.
Mm-hmm.
I was here in Centurion staying, being unemployed. A friend came to me, he said he need to render services at a municipality. Then I was working for a consulting engineering company and he just let me go. And I took these guys to the municipalities. When I took them to the municipalities, then it was in Northwest. They decided to go on the tender and cut me out.
Okay.
And then when I was told that the people don't call you anymore, I decided to bid for the same tender.
Mm-hmm.
And I won it.
Okay.
And I didn't even know what is debt collection.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met up with friends and then I joined Pamozi.
Okay.
And because I didn't have capacity and infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
after I've joined Pamozi and then we started working and I started bringing a lot of contracts. And then after, in business, there's a lot of betrayal.
Yeah.
When the big shots saw that now they can take over the business from me, they cut me out. they paid me out. They said, go, we don't need you. We've got the industry now. We've learned all the tricks from you. And they give me a restraint of trade.
How long was the restraint of trade?
I think for 3 months.
Okay.
And then I begged them to remove it. When they removed the restraint of trade, I think it was around past 2 when I signed for it.
Uh-huh.
The following day, all those municipalities who had a contract with them terminated their contract.
Okay.
And appointed me the same day, all of those contracts. That's how I started.
Wow. Okay. How long back is this?
That is probably 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, currently I'm servicing 47 municipalities in the country.
Okay.
Now, in business,
mm-hmm.
I always say to young black male and female, you don't need capacity, you don't need infrastructure, you don't need capital investment, you don't need a BE, a joint venture, you just need to have brains. I remember once when I was staying in Pretoria, I just registered a company.
Okay.
And I went to the Department of Education and I said, I'm supplying stationery. And they said, no, we've got a tender for 250,000. I said, don't do it to tender. Give me three quotations because I've got a big warehouse of stationery in Kimberley, where I come from. And I was lying. I didn't even know what is a highlighter. But because I wanted the order, I went to some Indian guys in Pretoria West. I said to them, give me a quote. They give me a quote. I think it was up to almost 100,000 or 100,000 plus. And I spoke to them. I took them to the department. They delivered the stationery. I got paid. And I paid them over their money immediately.
Okay.
And I went to buy a Corolla. I was very excited. It was December month. I went home and I went to East London with my friends, the Ayanda Nkuhle and Andy Nkuhle were my friends. We chowed all that money. I came back, I sold the Corolla. I was still a young man then. I went to DTI, the old building.
Yeah.
One of their directors was shouting at the staff, the air conditioners were not working. I walked out to do a business card. I used an address, everything, that I've got an air conditioner company. I went back to them and said, why you struggle when you've got me? I can fix the entire building. I did not know how to light an air conditioner. You know, blacks, we never grew up with air conditioners.
Yeah, sure.
I went to a company in Pretoria West. They were servicing air conditioner. I said to those white guy and his staff, you must leave because the department is coming for site visit. I was sitting at the owner's office. When they came, that was my office. And I was given the order by DTI. And I fixed the entire building's air conditioners. But I use the same company to fix the air conditioners. So I'm trying to say to you, if you want the studio, your own studio, you don't need the money. You can still go and get the infrastructure and pay it off. Because I was coming to Gauteng. I needed to be smart.
Yeah.
Because I could see people were fast asleep, you know. Blacks were not getting business. And for a black person to get business, you needed a lot of money, you know. For you, they will ask you, what are you banking with? So I had to play big in Gauteng, you understand? Because if you play small, you'll end up with the small players.
Mama Shaba, let me come to you. Okay, before maybe I actually get to the part that Ubudfikile is taking us, I want to understand, why did you get into this industry though as a woman? You know, construction, mining, you know, these are male dominated industries. And when are you decided to come here?
That was the first thing that actually fascinated me. It was actually, I don't like female dominated stuff, like the obvious, the expected.
No, let's do catering.
I don't know.
She must do catering and cater for us.
I can't even cook. I can only boil an egg. So I prefer to be outside, to be out there with the guys. It was just passion.
Okay.
It was passion, yeah. And you'll be surprised that I don't even have a civil engineering qualification or any technical qualification for that matter. But I just, it feels like a calling, you know, it keeps
you awake. So now, you can actually do this. We must stop making excuses.
Of course, I can relate it to almost everything that he said, because there were times I'll never say I can't do something or I don't know. I'll just say I'll verify and get back to you, you know. So it's like, so that it seems like, you know, you have some knowledge to some extent. It's just that you are not sure. You're just going to verify. When you say you don't know, it's a turn off. I mean, when you know, the procurement system is very arrogant and hostile, you know. So when you get there, really, you have to be crazy. You have to cause discomfort because they are already putting on a particular character when they receive us.
Yeah, true.
You know, so you have to be different and draw their attention. So you just get in there and just bully them. There was a time in Witbank, actually, I was called a bully because I'm blessed with persistence. Mm. You know, you can be arrogant today. I don't care. I'm only focused on what I want.
Mm.
You know, I don't care. You know, I can camp at your office.
Mm.
So it's all about that. You have to be persistent and aggressive.
Okay, I like the camping part. Tell me more about that and how you can camp at your offices. And maybe as well, give us a scenario, a story as to where you've camped. What did you want and you were not getting and you decided to camp and you got it?
For instance, at the mines, you know, they'll say you can't get in without an appointment. So how do you get in if you don't know anyone? So I put on my PPE in full, and then I go to the gate. I just look for a Bulelani Balabala who doesn't exist. I mean, the security guard cannot know everybody. So I tell them, I'm here to see this person, and we are meeting in a few minutes. And he did say he was going underground. So, you know, so I look genuine, and I look knowledgeable based on how I'd be dressed up. So this security guard thinks, you know, this person knows what she's doing because she's in full PPE. I mean, I'm talking your goggles, boots, your hard hat, everything.
Yeah.
And then she'll allow me to go through. And then when I get inside, you just read the signages. You get to the guys. You see engineering or whatever. You get in there, and then you start asking questions. You are bound to draw attention. You look different. You look lost. So you are bound to attract the right attention. So in one of the mines, I was looking for the manager.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every time we had to meet, there was a postponement. So on a particular day, I decided that I'm not going anywhere. They told me she was going to a meeting, but I managed to get inside. So I was already at her office. So I sat there, and then I the PA told the manager that this is the Thuli Mashaba who's always been making appointments. And then somehow she looked at me and she was like, no, cancel all my appointments because they had postponed so many times. So, and then she cancelled everything and said, let me hear what she's about. And then the rest is history.
Wow. No, it's
you know, my story. When she's busy explaining her profile, I'm itching.
Mm.
I'm asking myself, I wish me and her can call a lot of young black people and just get a sponsor and just go and give a motivational talk.
Mm. No, guys, it's arranged.
Yeah,
it's arranged.
I'm thinking she's a hustler.
Mm.
You know, she does not wait for things to happen. She makes things. She's like me.
Mm.
I hope it's not my father's daughter.
Yeah.
But you know what surprises me is that what she's saying is basically exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't wait for a tender to be advertised. Mm. I go and get it.
Yeah,
you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, if you sit there, ask yourself how many of us are looking for tenders.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, we run a monthly training and event called Township Entrepreneurship Alliance. This is where we gather young people every month. We bring in different speakers, you know, to actually talk about different issues. You know, I think Bulelani, let's have a session about doing business the aggressive way.
Yeah.
You know, and we have them both as key speakers. Maybe if on that particular day we'll need to add an hour to accommodate them, let's do that.
No, I think that would be fantastic, because, I mean, that is the essence of what tea is all about at the end of the day. And these are the stories.
Mm.
I'm telling you, these are the stories. If you are decent, you won't get anything. You won't get it. You have to be, there has to be some level of insanity.
Yeah.
Then only then, you know, you will draw the right attention.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, it's something that I think for me it's exciting, and we definitely want to explore. We'll send the relevant dates to you, and we're looking forward to hosting you, and we definitely take it from there. Bulelani, Amantabatana, they're saying we don't need to. You know, for me, I'm very close to this story because my mother used to say to me, you know, as if, you know what, something will come while I'm sitting. So I've always been a hustler. I've always been out there doing things and getting things done. So now being now, you know, the age that I am, having achieved so much. And now I remember she came to me and she says, thank you that you never listened to me. I can imagine where would you be at this point in time. So Bulelani, do you agree that as young people out there, do we need to be much more aggressive in terms of obtaining what do we want for our businesses?
I don't know if I can do as much justice as what has been said, but I mean, it's important to be aggressive. Nothing comes on a silver platter. You have to go out there and push, and you have to lobby in the receptions. You have to come up with innovative ideas where you're standing in the reception, almost being barred from entering, and you overhear conversation. You start developing that particular business, and that is very important. I mean, I think we're all sitting here as people who were hungry enough to chase after their dreams. I mean, I know that with me, man. I mean, you know, my highest grade is grade 9. I don't have a grade above that. But I mean, 10 years later, we've got machines. We're working with big brands. We're building them up and we're still going. But you know, it's very inspiring to be in studio. And sometimes, I mean, I'm sitting here feeling like I'm doing nothing because I mean, I think these are the inspirational stories that help in pushing each other so that we push the button even further. I mean, from running the business that you are running to cutting edge innovation where you're the first black owner of a tracking company in the world. I mean, I think those are the stories that we need to be pushing at. I mean, where we are able to impact the economy of the country directly, because up until you play a heavy economic role, your voice will never be heard. The voice of a poor man is never heard anyway. It doesn't matter how intelligent, how great, or how powerful you are. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all about going against the button. I mean, they may call us bullies, they may call us loud, they must call us rowdy, but I think it's that robust conversations are the ones that we need to have, in terms of, don't just give us the business because we've got BE, don't just give us the business because of our skin color, but we can deliver as well. You know, let not the business coming to us be a portion that is just allotted, but let it be business in general, in the general sense, because we have the competencies, we have the skills, we have the ideologies to be able to deliver any product of any man. Just give us the capacity, just give us the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, can I just add on what you're saying? You know, when I was sitting down with my sister here, asking her what she was doing, she said she was in construction. Before I came here, I was driving around Midrand because I'm looking at to buy land, because I'm renting from your big corporate companies. And then I walked into an office park where they are building a warehouse and offices. You know, the project manager, it's a young black lady and a young black man from Mpumalanga. And then immediately I say, why should government not look for young black women and young men and say to them, you are going to form a consortium. We are going to give you schools in the township to build and to renovate. You know what I mean? Because now they are working for this big corporation. Those big corporation top management or even engineers are not there. It is this young youth, you know. Then why can't we as government, if I say we as government, I mean I'm government because I voted them into power.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we look for these young black entrepreneurs and say, look here you are. You are 6 companies. We are going to form a consortium. You are going to build 6 schools.
Okay.
And we are going to make infrastructure and capital injection available for you. Half of it, when you finish the project, then you will be paid. So that in future, she can't remain at CIDB 4.
No, she can't.
She can be CIDB 4, but she can still work better than CIDB 9.
Mm.
You know, sometimes these numbers are not only going out based on your work. It goes out based on who you are.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm.
But you'll find that the one with the lower grade can do a better job.
Mm.
But you know, there's something that hurts me about my people, and I must say it. You know, I travel around the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no opportunities anywhere in the world like South Africa.
No, that is so true.
If you want to make a million next week in South Africa, you can. You know, if I were to become president for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, 50% of this country will not focus on alcohol. Let me make an example with sports. Sundowns is the most respectable team now.
Mm-hmm.
People of Pretoria cannot fill up Atresville. what are our people doing on their spare time? But you watch a second division game in England and in Spain, the stadiums are packed. 50,000 people for a second division team. What is that our people are doing on their spare time? But I'm saying we need to, it also has to do with politics in our country. I said to the deputy president now the other day, if you take over, please appoint academics. And make sure that whoever is appointed in a political position must be financially stable, because this country does have money. We've been downgraded, but I don't feel it. You understand me? Because the currency, the rent and the dollar is still the same. But we need South Africans to sit down and ask themselves, what is that you want? Do you want to have a job or do you want to create jobs? You look at the grant issue. I'm happy that Cliff Central, you speak your mind. How do you pay billions on social grants per month? You can't say someone should go out there and have a girlfriend and have a child. You'll maintain their child. You understand what I mean? So we need our people. My brother, you can go to the streets and sell makwenya. You will make money. You understand? No. Look at the lady. One of my role models. I've got two role models. Sakumzi in Soweto. That man married my home girl. The lady who stays in the same street as me. He was driving a Toyota Cressida. That house of his dad is not a wow house.
No,
because
it's not.
He sells traditional South African brand food. You know, he gets tourists. All the tourist buses stops by him. You go to this old lady in Tembisa, in Busy Corner. She started with a container. Today, she runs a multi-million rand business. His son is also part and parcel of the business. So everything is possible in this country, provided we are serious and we are focused. I started a vehicle tracking company because one day government didn't pay me. I was stressed and I needed to come with a creative idea. But I've employed white people. I've employed black people. So at the end of the day, everything is possible in this country. It's up to us. I was saying to your colleague now, what does it cost to open a radio station? What does it cost to open a TV station?
Okay.
Because I know I've never lost a battle in my life. Whatever I want, I get it. It doesn't matter how much it costs. Money is not an issue. But the issue is, are you brave enough? Because, for example, there's no black person that owns a TV station in this country.
No.
And when you look at the TV stations today, it's all about politics. You can't watch TV anymore. Look at DSTV. Those people are making billions. And then look at our actors today. They act for 6 months, they are popular, and the next 3 years, they are drug addicts. Are they growing?
Yeah, it's true.
People are popular in radio stations. They leave big radio stations. They go down the drain. You know, we need to have a station of black people, radio station, TV stations that will broadcast nationally. You know, and then we need also our people to use this platform to sell their businesses. You know, and like the lady here, she's at grade four. Now, for her to get a tender, she must be a boxer. She must box her way through. She doesn't lie. And you know what has killed also black business? If we need to be honest, kickback has killed black business.
Is it?
Yes.
No, definitely.
Our people don't make profit because they work for those who want kickbacks.
No, definitely. It does. And another thing that I wanted to get to, Sis Tudi, the issue of right now, I don't know who you're servicing the most, private sector or government?
Government.
Okay. Government, yeah. I've been servicing government the most until the political change that took place. So now what I decided, it was 70% government that I was doing 30% private. So now I've decided to swap roles and do 70% private and 30% government, you know. So, and I've realized that, okay, with government, they are biggest procurer, correct? And with private sector, I'm chasing a whole lot of small cakes and WhatsApp, but now you're chasing numbers. So now one of the things that I realized or that I picked up, it's the fact that with private, when you come from government, they don't take you serious. You know, they with private, when you come from government, it's as if the service delivery that you were offering there, it was substandard.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I know for a fact, because right now I had to fight hard to say, guys, I've got buildings and projects that I've done that have won in national competitions, mm-hmm. you know. So for me, I could manage to do a 34 million worth kind of project because government was willing to take a bet on me, you know. Mm-hmm. So private sector, you can't take a bet on me even with 100 or half a million. You know, so because now I need to be serving under whoever, you know, Van der Waald or this and this and that. So didn't you experience, or aren't you experiencing some of those challenges?
Yes, of course, those challenges are there. And I think they'll still remain. That is why I always encourage coaching or rather business incubation or self-investment.
Mm-hmm.
Investing in yourself, you know, so that you add credibility. I know, like most budding entrepreneurs or even established and entrepreneurs, don't like going to school or getting coached to run their businesses professionally. But that is the only way you can actually go to maybe government or even private sector mm-hmm. to convince them that you have been trained
mm-hmm.
to run a business, you know budgeting, you know how to do certain things, you know branding, you know marketing,
yeah.
and you know project management, the whole project management system, deadlines, professionalism, you know, and then sticking to the specs of the client, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I always encourage entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs to get a coach or get into an incubation program. It makes a huge difference. Also, it says about you that you are willing to invest in yourself, because what I've noticed with investors and or even in the private sector, with clients in the private sector, they are looking for reasons not to work with you. And also that is due to how our brothers and sisters have behaved in the past. We are painted with the same brush.
That's true.
Because we are perceived to be lifestyle entrepreneurs. You know, we only get projects just to show off, to buy cars, mm-hmm. to go shopping and to check in elite places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all of us who are like that.
Mm.
You know, so that is the battle that we still need to fight, but bit by bit we are in fact I'm fighting it.
Mm.
I'm trying to convince end users and engineers that not all of us are the same.
Mm.
And I must say I'm succeeding, though it's very difficult. Mm. It needs a lot of persistence, but I'm winning.
Mm.
So I think our current generation in terms of entrepreneurship has the responsibility just to transform. I mean, we are long past the gravy train, you know. We are used to money now.
Mm.
I mean, there shouldn't be any excuse why we are reckless and why we are not properly structured, why we are not running our businesses professionally. So we don't have any excuses anymore. We have to be properly registered, accredited, run our businesses professionally.
Mm.
That is the only way. And also learn to invest in ourselves and do away with the attitude of entitlement. When you look at this service delivery protests that are happening around the country, I mean, if you can pull one young person and ask them, what is it that you want? What do you have? You'll find that they didn't even go to school. Secondly, they don't even have a registered company, or they don't have a particular skill. But you ask, why are you vandalizing? Why are you making so much noise? They don't know. So we must also ensure that as much as we make the noise, we are empowerment ready.
Mm.
Because most of the entrepreneurs are not empowerment ready.
No, we're not.
We're not empowerment ready. So that is something that I believe we need to...
You're making Uput figure boil.
Yes, sisi ngicela amabundles akazophela. You speak things that I wish you were the Speaker of Parliament.
Mm.
What she's saying, my brother, sorry kungena emlonyeni sisi. You know, as black people,
mm-hmm.
we need to start to be ambitious.
Mm.
We don't have to look for jobs.
No.
Now, I said to my son Simpiwe, he's 7, I asked him, what do you want to do? He said, Daddy, I want to be a bigger businessman than you.
That's good.
He's 7 years. He said, I'm going to take your company over when I finish my university. He's 7 years. Now, when I'm listening to my sister here,
mm-hmm.
I'm asking myself, where did we go wrong?
Mm.
Who did we elect to lead us? Under which credibility? Do you know it's 24 years? We don't have a bank. Mm.
Mm.
And if I were to go with you now and we're going to apply for a bank license, they are going to turn us down. Even if we've got 5 billion
mm-hmm.
as security, we'll be told we don't have this and that and that. But a company can come from overseas and open a bank in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes to show that politically we don't have even matured or visionaries of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if we were to open a bank and say we've got a bank called Abantu, and all government employees get paid over that bank? How did they form Capitec, these people?
Yeah, no, it's
and,
true.
And the majority of clients at Capitec are black.
Mm.
Now, for you, if she gets a tender now for 75 million or 150 million, they are going to look for a lot of securities that they know she does not have.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, we don't have to fight. We need to come across very prominent politicians who are going to ask, why don't we have a bank? Because all the banks are foreign owned. You understand me? When are we going to have a bank that will fund?
An African bank is no longer ours.
And you know, we don't. Now, the thing is, black people are cashiers in banks. They are managers. They sit is in board of directors. We don't want them to sit in board of directors. They must form a bank. What? Where did FNB and ABSA get that system that we cannot get? If government will put a guarantee and say, Fikile, open the bank, and we encourage our people to come and bank with this bank, sometimes they blacklist you for 250 rand of West University of 1981.
Mm,
and the people who own the ITC in this country are Americans.
Mm.
So Americans are owning our information. They determine which black gets credit, which does not get credit. But can you imagine, she gets a project now, next month, she needs a 10 million overdraft. Where are you going to get it?
Mm.
Now you must partner with the big shots and they must knock you.
Yes.
So as black people, we need a conference, each and every province, where we are going to talk and ask ourselves, who are we? Where do we come from and where are we going as a nation? Because we don't want to blame white people. Let me be honest with you. White people give us our space for 23 years. They had their assets and whatever they had, their private sector is theirs. They are only 8 million. We are about 36 million, 34 million. Why can't we start our own economy and stop blaming white people and say they must give the land back, they must do what? Why can't we go on farming on our own?
Yeah. No. You know. I must commend. You know, Asanda for bringing you guys. For me, I think Bulelani. You know, we've got entrepreneurs that are doing amazing things out there. You know, there's me. There's you. You know, there's many others. And I remember last year sometime we were actually shooting a show called Game Changers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now they had to change the name from Game Changers to Six Zeros. The show actually premiered last night at SABC1. You know, so the show, it actually followed, they took five individuals that are game changers within the entrepreneurial space. Young people, black, that come from disadvantaged background, that have actually shaped their life to create an empire for themselves. You know, I'd love you guys to watch it and catch it, sometime and see some of the stories that we talk about. For me, I mean, I had the privilege to be regarded as one of, those young people. So I want to show you, something. It's a 30 second, you know, I don't know if you can see, Sister.
Yeah, I can see.
You know, tuning that they launching.
This week on Six Zeros, we have Tebo Homa Ford.
Tebogo is not normal.
He's a real street hustler.
It's very aggressive business wise. Tanjima Lepario.
He's not compliant.
We should say, as soon as we should say, and the fella, the phone's on your control.
When you look at where he is today, that is just, you know, a pioneering spirit. And
catch 6 Zeroes every Tuesday at 10 p.m. on SABC 1. Mzansi for sure.
So this it's you know, for me it was a privilege to actually be, you know, be covered, you know,
on TV.
Not only, I mean, I am actually on TV, having a business show, mm-hmm. but now being covered in terms of the life story where one comes from, you know, mm-hmm. and to showcase people like Bulelani, you know, that you know, now he's my co-host. He just finished shooting his own television show as well called Township Entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a question of to say, how do we grow each other? As young people, you know, if ever there's an opportunity for me to open up for him, why not open up? If there's an opportunity for me to open up for you, why don't we, you know? Mm-hmm. But right as well, you realize that it's a question of we get intimidated as young black people to say, you know what, hey, this one is going to make more money than me. This one is going to make more money.
Jealousy.
And the next thing we start locking on opportunities, and we start closing on opportunities, you know, that are out there for each other. For me, I'm up for celebrating lives like you, you know, because at the end of the day, beyond, for me, I think you guys have gone out of your way to achieve, you know, against all odds, you know. So, and it's something that I think that it needs to be recommended, it needs to be celebrated, as a nation, and we need to be celebrated as the business community. What is your take, Bulelani?
I think that, I mean, we, without clear celebration of black excellence, I mean, I call it black excellence, then, you know, you hinder the industry from growing and developing. Because, you know, one guy, you know, always says this religiously, that a candle doesn't lose its light by lighting up other candles. It loses no power, it loses no strength by lighting up other candles.
That's true.
And I think that, you know, what I've noticed a lot of, and you know, the funny thing is, I had a meeting, I think last week, with a group of managers at a white-owned company. And these guys were like, you know, we were so shocked last year. The black guys that, and they were like, can we be direct? The four black guys that we had last year who were supposed to be mentors, who are supposed to, there's a program they run, and we're supposed to be mentors, and they came in and they talk about, no, we want to help fellow black brothers and whatever, and you guys have the platform, so open up the doors, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, no, we let these guys in, they became ambassadors, they pushed this thing, but we were so shocked. At the end of the 4 days, they had created no opportunities for anyone that they were helping out directly who was black, but all the money that was supposed to be generated came only to them. Mm-hmm. And there were monies that were provisioned for everyone who was in the room. And you know, I think that those are the conversations. I mean, if we do not unite as a people and as black people, I mm-hmm. think most importantly, obviously we create the perception that these people are weak, these people are fragile, we can do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was emceeing an event the other day, hosting a Chinese delegate and the vice president of China. And when these guys came into the country,
mm-hmm.
they had a mandate.
Yes.
So when we sat down and we spoke, this was the conversation. And this was an entrepreneurial debate. Not debate, but conversation about how we synergize as the youth in entrepreneurship. So they came and they said, as Chinese young people, we only want to partner with you in construction, in social services, and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they gave you an ultimatum. So now you are already sitting there. Most of the people that were sitting there, and I was just called in. I wasn't convening this whole thing. It was convened by one of the government institutions. No one had an idea. There was no pre-briefing. So obviously these are the things that make us vulnerable to our international counterparts. And I feel like we need to strengthen up these ideologies better, so that I do not walk into a meeting with this gentleman and we're going to negotiate a deal with Tracker about his business, a takeover, and then I am in the bottom meeting and I'm organizing something different on how to take him down over money, because I then fight against black excellence. But we need to then stand together, because if money is going to come, we are sure as ever that money will come, and we have seen it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lukozu Bafikeng spoke about how he was backstabbed, but money still came, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, how much more could have came to those guys if they decided to come together, avail their resources, and impact the economy much more?
So just to add on that, that is why I'm emphasizing incubation. This thing helps you to add value and credibility on your name. You know, it boosts investor confidence, and it also boosts partnerships, potential partnerships or quality partnerships, let me say so. Because once you are sort of or you are incubated, you are trained, it changes your mindset. It's not a drive-through kind of training, but it's over a period, and it changes your mindset because it involves practical activities that make you very uncomfortable, and you get angry and. But at the end of the day, you become this sound entrepreneur that can also negotiate at a high level, and you also bring value, because you know it's shocking when you hear established white business say they don't have blacks to partner with.
It's true.
Because honestly, as small as I am, I wouldn't allow anyone who even wants 10%. So imagine you are coming with just your black face and you must get 51%. Now, then add value. What are you bringing besides your black skin? That's what we must work on, because these guys are honestly willing. I'm talking from experience. They are willing. However, they are looking for value.
Yeah, but now, as I remember, you reminded me of a show that we did, Bulela, I don't know if you remember, with Mr. Trevor Shabalala from Transcend, when we were talking about the new BBBE code. And he was saying some of these companies, they give us non-strategic projects, or they outsource non-strategic, you know, tuning to us, you know, but they keep the and retain the strategic ones. I know that for me, I'm out there within private sector and everything else, and I've experienced that. I've experienced those that are willing, and I've experienced those that want to take advantage, and in the midst of bringing value.
Listen, boss, I hear what the lady says. I'll make you an example. When I started the vehicle tracking company, I only have one white client. 90% of my clients are in the Val and Limpopo.
Okay.
If I go to white dealerships, they tell me about my competitors, which are not South African trucking companies. And then I met a dealership in the Val. It's owned by Nazim and his dad. It's an Indian dealership. They've signed up with me yesterday. They sell over 100 cars in all their dealerships around the country. I'm installing their tracker. So what does that tell you? Black people, wake up. Nothing is impossible in this country. When I went to these branded dealerships as a black person, they said, we have a contract with so and so already. They want to make it a point. Even the banks.
It's true.
Even the insurance companies. Now, I believe that my business, I get it from my own people, because the people of Soweto and Pretoria are the ones who are supporting me. So I think as black people, we should shift from being empowered. It's a pity we might lose the government if we are not careful. But as much as this government has its flops, some of us, they have empowered us. They have lifted us up. We just need to stand up and guide them and ask them to do the right things. But for a black person to think about the private sector, it's not going to work. Let me make an example. We've got a BRICS agreement.
Okay.
What is Russia buying from South Africa?
Nothing.
What is India buying from South Africa? Do you know if a black person's got a tender in India?
No.
Do you know if a black person's got a tender in China?
Never.
Will China allow Petrus Motsepe to mine in China?
No.
But why do they come and want to mine here? We don't need investors. We need the banks to say to the government that Sipho and Ayanda, they are geologists and metallurgists and mining engineers. The bank must buy a stake and the state must buy a stake. Let's mine. Let China come and buy our diamonds and gold as raw as they are here and go with them. Instead of they mine our minerals, take them overseas and sell it back to us. Now, we need ambitious people. You know what I mean? This thing, the economy will never shift for as long as we depend on being empowered. We must say we are very fortunate as blacks to have this government, irrespective of its mistakes.
Mm. True.
Because at the end of the day, our lives have improved, irrespective of the challenges we are facing politically and economically. Our lives have improved. But what we don't need to do as black people is to sit back and have fun. We are partying more than we have to work. You know, in China, they work every 1 week. They work till 11:30 at night. It's standard because they are productive. Those people don't stay in double story houses like us.
No, they don't.
You understand? Mm. We have the privilege. If you want to stay in a shack in South Africa, you can. Mm. And next week, if you want a double story, you can. With them, it's impossible.
Mm.
And the few are rich.
Yeah.
So here in South Africa, for you to be rich, you just need to be brave.
Mm.
And sometimes arrogant, and to be a goal getter, you know. So I am saying, for example, on my track, I've been appointed by one of the biggest insurance companies to be on their database. They have not even sent one client, but they still send clients to the so-called white-owned companies. Mm. But I'm grateful that Fixed Track has been supported by so many black people. Mm. I see even the taxi industries, they are coming on board. Mm. So I still believe going forward, we as black people, we need to have conferences and sit down and discuss where do we want to go.
Definitely. You know, I love the fact that these discussions, and half of the time we have them when we actually out of time. I think we must continue and make time to actually continue these discussions. Muzi, do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are. And quickly, maybe as well, in 30 seconds, tell us what do you think, sitting here as a young man who's trying to go ahead in life and you hearing such wisdom from Abantabada?
Okay, thank you so much for the opportunity. My name is Muzi Ngoma. I come from Alexander Township. I work with Tebogo Mafodi in Bryanston. They do share office space from that side. So that office space is an investec property, the property fund. So basically what I've learned here is that most particularly young people, we shouldn't be like more on the comfort zone. If you want something, you must go out and get it. Mm-hmm. Never count how many times you fail. Never count how many times you won't succeed. Just go out and get it and lose count. And yeah, so I've learned a lot, and I'm looking forward to come back here and learn a lot.
No, definitely. Bulelani, what's your take on today's show, as we close?
So, you see, so we're hosting this thing in June, and I think that this is one of the topics, because, I mean, it's called Young and in Charge, so I think that this is one of the top topics. I mean, we should have an unorthodox panel conversation, not a discussion, not talk at people, but speak about conversations that people would relate to when they sit at there, a robust conversation.
No, definitely. No, I'm hoping that we're going to definitely hear more and bring some of it here in studio. But thank you more than anything, lady and Jen, for joining us. I've got no doubt that somebody's life is changing and they've had, and they're actually going to do something about it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
No, definitely. This is all that we had for you today, right here on Cliff Central. My name is Tebogo Mafodi. I'm in studio with my boy, Bulelani Balabala. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz, right here on Cliff Central. And if you've just tuned in, you can definitely go into www.cliffcentral or download the Cliff Central app to actually catch the podcast. Bulelani, where can people follow you on social media?
Bulelani.
Yeah, not Bulelani. Sorry. Tuli. Tuli.
Okay, on Twitter, I'm Tuli_Mashaba.
Okay.
On Instagram, I'm Tuli.Mashaba. On Facebook, I'm Tuli Mashaba. And my website is www.tulimashaba.com. And I want to encourage budding entrepreneurs that the opportunities still exist. When things are tough, it doesn't mean that all is lost. Our government is still there. They have empowerment programs. Go out there and look for information.
No, definitely. That's how we close the show. But Figile, are you on social media?
No, they can just Google Figile Billy.
Hey, yeah, I saw there's a lot of
following.
Yeah,
Google Figile Billy. Cliffcentral.com.